Welcome along. It's the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Thanks for joining us. I'm Bruce Millington, and in the company of my Racing Post colleagues, Keith Melrose and David Jennings, as well as Paddy Power's Niall O'Reilly, we will be guiding you through the weekend action and hopefully bringing you all the best bets. It's a really, really good weekend. We've got the Queen of Racing in Able having Arc Prep, fantastically interesting Sprint Cup at Haydock Park. I think we've got eight other TV races on Saturday. It's a real bonanza. And then on Sunday, Pinatubo is back in action against some other star milers. So we'll see what the lads fancy there. Loads of notes to get stuck into. We will start with the race that is highest on quality but lowest on intrigue. 2:35 Kempton Live on ITV, the Unibet September Stakes. A Group 3 over a mile and a half, and probably Enable's easiest task, certainly since a very early two-year-old day. She must be extremely short, Niall.
So Enable is 6 on here. Prince of Iron is 8-1. Foxtel 12-1. Almania 20-1. Tindali 20-1. And 25-1 bar.
And we've only got 7 runners, Niall, so there's no each-way opportunities. I'm sure there will be a without book. Do we just sit back and watch and enjoy Enable, or is there a way of squeezing some betting value out of this, do you think?
No, I couldn't find any angle. She should just be winning this quite easily. There's not a huge amount to talk about. In terms of her arc chance, I still think that'll depend on the ground. On soft ground, I'd give her a big chance. On better ground, I'd find it hard to see her beating Love, given her the weight. But that's it for me.
You'll be doing a distance market, I suppose, won't you? What might she open up? Sort of over under 4.5 lengths, 4 lengths?
Yeah, around that.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Okay, Keith, anything to add to that? I mean, like I say, it's obviously a disappointing race from a betting perspective. Not disappointing whenever you get to see Enable run, but would you just expect her to just turn up, get it done, and move on to Longchamp?
Yeah, you would. And if she doesn't, there'd have to be crisis meetings, wouldn't there? So I won't be watching Enable. I'll be watching the thrilling battle for second as Foxtel possibly pulls too hard and Prince of Arran comes to get him in the last couple of furlongs. But apart from that, it's not a race that excites me at all.
Okie doke, Prince of Arran potentially for the without market. DJ, can you get excited about this?
Yeah, I always have to get excited when Enable is running. I think if you don't get excited when Enable is running, you're not a real racing fan, you're a proper punter. I just think with Enable, like, she's just going to go out and do her thing. Like, like Niall, I couldn't find any angle into a betting proposition in this race whatsoever. The only thing I will say is, Enable is whatever 1-5 with Paddy Power. Like, there's a horse running in the first race at Kilbeggan tonight called Hugh Zane that's roughly the same price. And like, you're talking about a superstar who always wins against a horse who has never won and is running a very weak race. I know which one of the 1-5 shots I prefer to be on, and that'd be Enable. I think as short prices go, she's one of the most solid options you're ever going to get.
Righty-ho. Let's move on to the big race on Saturday. It's the 3:25 at Haydock. It's the Betfair Sprint Cup. Over 6 furlongs, a Group 1, and if the Enable race is fairly easy to solve, this one's probably slightly harder. Niall, how do Paddy Power bet on it?
There's 13 runners here, and we're paying 4 places just to make it that little bit easier on punters. Dream of Dreams is currently our 3-1 favourite. Hello Humes in is 7-2. Art Power, 11-2. Golden Horde, 11-2. Lopi Fernandez, 7-1, and 11-1 bar.
Keith, this is interesting, isn't it? Who do you fancy?
I'm a little bit unfortunate in a sense, because I think me and Paddy Power agree on a lot this weekend from looking at the markets. The one that they've priced up a bit shorter than others is Art Power, who's the one I actually fancy for this race. You can get quite a bit bigger than 11-2 elsewhere. I think 11-2, probably shorter. I think he would be up with the favourites if he hadn't run in the Nunthorpe, and you can throw that run straight out. He was beaten after a furlong. I was wondering whether it is 6 furlongs on Haydock's sort of softer side ground what he really wants, but he has always shown and looked as good at 6 as over 5, so I don't think that's actually an issue. And once I got over that, I started to see his price for what it was, and while, you know, it is a very competitive race, I think he's the wrongest price.
Why are you so forgiving of that run at York? It was a shocker.
He's beaten after 100 yards.
Well, you know, what happens if he runs like that again?
Could happen to anything. Could happen to any of these horses. Why would he run like that again? You know, he's only 6 weeks on from...
Well, all right, why did he run like that?
Did they go too hard? Did they go too fast for him? Probably not. you know, a horse that's beaten after 100 yards is either a miss, which nothing came to light about that, or you just throw the run out because the horses just sometimes have bad days, especially sprinters. So, yeah, just easy to chuck out. Absolutely. It's, and it's not even a difficult one to chuck out, really. Just do.
Okay, fine. DJ, first of all, you're going to go on about how it's a really poor quality race, and then you're going to tell us who's going to win.
No, not at all. I love the race.
Okay.
I don't get Art Power at all. I don't get him. Don't get the horse. Do not understand how he started 11-4 for the Nunthorpe. His form, you can make holes in his form everywhere. He came over to Ireland and won the Lacken Stakes, but everybody was jumping up and down about. He beat Mill Isle, who was beaten next time at evens. Zarzini was third at 40-1 for Mick Halford. Real Force was fourth at 66-1. It was an absolutely terrible...
Stop, DJ. Mill Isle won next time. Come on, yeah, leave Ellis in as well.
Hold on. Mill Isle won next time.
No further questions, Your Honour.
No. Mill Isle did win next time. Sorry, I'll take that back. But then ran in the Phoenix Sprint at the Curragh and was stuffed when sent off Evans' favourite. I don't think Mill Isle is half the filly she was at three as she was at two. And most of her runs this season suggest the same. I don't get Art Power. I think he's a good horse. But I don't think, like, even beating Keep Busy that day at Ascot, like... You're talking about Group 1 form here, and this is a horse who achieved a lot in a very short space of time, but he's just not up to this level, and I think he was found out in the Nunthorpe. I could be wrong, Keith, and you know I really, really respect you, and if you're right, I will hold my hands up, but I don't get him. I don't get the price he is here. I didn't get his price in the Nunthorpe, and he's the first horse I'm crossing off. So there you go. That's me and Art Power. We don't get on. The one that I think is massively overpriced, and I'm pretty keen on him, is Tab Deed. For Owen Burrows and Jim Crowley. I thought it was interesting that Kadem was entered for this race as well. And Kadem is your kind of solid one for this type of race. And they haven't ran him. They've gone with Tab Deed, who I thought was really impressive in the Hackwood when beating the Tin Man. He was drawn 10 that day and he came on the near side. The second was Tin Man was drawn 1. Shine So Bright was drawn 2. And Judicial was drawn, who finished 4th, was drawn 4. And that race has worked out really, really well. Judicial, I thought, was impressive at Chester. Summer Gand, your beloved Summer Gand, obviously won the Stewart's Cup next time. And I just thought it was a performance of a sprinter that was going places. I think he's on the way up. If you go through some of his form lines, he has a real turn of foot. And I think the gelding operation has really, really brought him on. I think the ground will be perfect. I think a flat track like Paydock is ideal. He's rated 112. He doesn't have a huge amount of improvement to make, and he's 11-1. I certainly think he should be a single figure price. And I think he could turn into a very good sprinter. So Tab Deed for me, Bruce.
Not that it necessarily harms the argument particularly, but I suspect Cadams are running because of the ground.
Right.
Okay. I think he's always run badly on soft ground. I wanted to put him up. I wanted it to be dry this weekend. I wanted to back Cadam, but they haven't declared him. I suspect it's because he's run like a drain all previous starts on soft.
Okay, and in terms of the ground, I think it's going to be drying this afternoon, but then on going into Saturday, I think we're going to get rain from lunchtime. So I think we can assume it will be soft. Niall, who are you going to go for?
Yeah, it's interesting what Keith said there. There's a chance we'll probably be putting up similar horses today. Just this race, if any interest in the three-year-olds have won 5 of the last 6 runnings. So taking that angle, the front two in the market are obviously 4 and 6. Hello Hume's in. His best form has come at Haydock, but even if you look at that race last year, he only really beat the Tin Man. The third was nothing special either. So the form, if that's not earth-shattering, I can see him winning, but he just doesn't really excite me. Dream of Dreams looked very good last time, though. That was a shocking race at Newbury. On a weird day at the track, a lot of horses won that weekend by long distances with fields strung out. So I'm just not getting carried away with that. I don't like the way he's going to be held up here either. I just don't like that at Haydock. I've landed on Art Power as well. He could say he got found out last time, though. He's slightly he was slightly slowly away and was always on the back foot over 5 furlongs. He just wasn't used to going that pace. I thought he ran okay. Like, he ran pretty poorly, but, like, he didn't tail off or anything like that. He was out of his comfort zone. And previous to that, he put up a very fast time at Ascot, which was a lot faster than the Nunthorpe in the same card, when winning a competitive handicap very easily. He then won very easily at Naas over 6 furlongs on softish ground. I take Dave's point about the form, but what more would you want him to do in that field? I don't know. He won easily. I just think the combination of a step up to 6 furlongs, soft conditions at Haydock, will see him in a much better light here. And at the prices, with the weight for age allowance, I'm going to chance him.
Actually, I've just looked. He only got beat 6 lengths by Batash. I mean, he, as if you say, he wasn't completely tailed
You're
off.
You're all ganging up on me now.
Keith, no, not at all. No, I'm just trying to quote the odd facts, you know, DJ.
Just on that, Bruce, Batash actually got beaten similarly. Remember when Frankie thought he'd won the race, but it was won by Marshall. But sometimes at York, if you just get taken out of your feet early, the race is gone. So I'd totally forgive him that run.
That's right as well, because we were talking about the tailwind that was at York that day and the day before. So York's a speed track at the best of times. And if you're out your ground at all, you're dead, basically. So yeah, it's true what Niall says there.
Keith, can I have a fiver each one sum again at 33? Can you justify that or not really?
Well, you hope for the rain, I suspect, because you'll need all sorts of wacky races to probably get him in the three. It's actually a very deep race. While I'd be surprised if the winning performance was much above the average for the race over the last 10 years, I would imagine there'll be three or four horses that run to about that level. So in that case, Summergan would need to improve by, well, 4 or 5 pounds plus, and a horse that's had as many goes as him. Can you see it?
Well, I just think at 33s, I don't know, I just think their big field just helps him, and I'd hate him to win and I wasn't on, so I will be getting involved. And one more I want to ask you about, DJ, is Lopi Fernandez. 7-1 do it for you, just given his proximity to Hello Young Zane in France.
Yeah.
You know, he wouldn't be out of it, would he?
No, he certainly wouldn't. I give him a chance. He'd be in my top three. Like, I think he's a horse that probably has flattered to deceive on a couple of occasions. But when you go through some of his runs, like the run at Deauville behind Pinatubo, you know, third to Siskin when looking like he was going to win the Irish Guineas, like, you think he's a really disappointing horse, but he's actually not. The thing that worries me a little bit is I was on a Zoom call with Aidan O'Brien for Irish Champions Weekend on Wednesday, and he said the horse definitely doesn't run, and he says he runs in the Flying Five next week at Takura. So literally, whatever, 10 or 12 hours later, he was declared for the Spring Cup. So I don't know how there was a big change of heart, but yeah, he has a chance.
Okay, thank you, gents. We've got two votes for Art Power and one for Tab Deed in the big race on Saturday, which is the Betfair Sprint Cup. Let's do the rest of the Haydock card next.
Paddy Power shops are back open, and with them, the return of a massive racing offer. We're giving best odds guaranteed on singles and multiples, all UK and Irish racing, all shops, all day. Limited time only. Terms and conditions apply. Ask in shops for more details. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Okay, welcome back. Let's do the other three ITV races at Haydock on Saturday, starting with 1:45, the Betfair Superior Mile, a Group 3 and an interesting race. Niall, spin through the betting.
Yeah, so Calusi is our 11-4 favourite, My Oberon 11-4, Stormy Antarctic 5-1, Top Rank 5-1, KSR 8-1, Kinross 9-1 and 10-1 bar.
Now then, DJ, when I looked at the betting for this, and then I look back at that race at Goodwood, I can't see how My Oberon is the same price as Calusi. Surely he's got to be shorter, isn't he?
Yeah.
That was a no. You're talking bollocks.
on that run, absolutely. On that run, yes, he should be way shorter and the betting is ridiculous. But I just go back to that Ascot performance by Calusi, and like it was absolutely breathtaking, I thought, from Calusi. And I think it was just ground. Like, it was really, really fast ground at Goodwood. And I don't think Calusi handled it at all. It was a funny sort of a race. He was keen early, he led, then he was kind of switched in behind. And he actually didn't have a hard race once he was beaten. Jim Crowley accepted the situation. Yes, he was a beaten 4-7 favourite, but he was a beaten 4-7 favourite on ground that I think he absolutely hated. I think he'd be much more at home on this surface. I think this track will suit better as well. And you know me, Bruce, I'm the forgiven type. And while I can see your point, I think Calusi will win.
DJ goes for Calusi. Niall goes for...
Look, this is very tricky with some nice lightly raised types in here. They're just the exact type of horses that I've backed in the past at Haydock, only for them to get absolutely stuffed at the track for whatever reason. It just does that to some unexposed horses sometimes. I'm not going to make that mistake here. Kisar is not the best horse in the race, though I think he's the best bet at the prices. He loves it here. He's 2 from 3. Both wins coming on soft ground, winning very easily in a competitive handicap last time. I think he won by 4 lengths or so. That course form counts for more here than most other places, particularly in soft ground. I thought it was interesting that the book Ryan Moore as well. I was really disappointed in Calusi last time. I thought he was a certainty. So I wasn't sure what to make of him, but you do have the ground as an excuse, as DJ said. Just when he came off the bridle, he looked very uncomfortable on it, which that will normally tell you something. A lot of horses can travel on ground they don't like, but when they're asked the question, you really find out about them. I like My Oberon, but he actually had the run of the race that day. I'm just not...
Well, apart from getting put through the fence.
Well, like, I mean, he was out in front in a race that went really slowly. So maybe he should have been kicking on. Like, Tislett went by him quite easily initially. I know he did get hampered, but I'm not 100%. He can definitely win this race, but he's favourite, and I'm not sure he deserves to be.
So you're going to go for Kesar. Like I say, DJ's gone for Colussi. Are you going to agree with the lads or paddle your own canoe, Keith Melrose?
Well, I'm going to agree with the lads up to a large degree. I think Colussi hated the track at Goodwood. It might have been the ground, but neither comes into it here because both are very different. It was the most obvious hated it I saw all week at Goodwood, on a week when you see a lot of horses that hate it. So I'm chucking that one out. That's why he should be the same price or shorter than my Oberon. I don't think you'll see a better handicap performance the whole year than his win in the Britannia. So I am going to try and get my money back on him because I still think he's a Group 2 horse at least.
Okay, so the two Racing Post lads are going for Colussi and Paddy Power's Nile O'Reilly is going to go for Kesar. Let's move on to the 2:15 now. It's the best odds on the Betfair Exchange handicap over 1 mile, 6 furlongs, just the 5 runners. And William Haggis has the favourite, Niall.
Yeah, favourite Mooners are 7-4 favourite. Arturian Fable 3-1. Aldabran 7-2. Midrar 9-2. And Dancing Harry 8-1.
Now then, Niall, if you're going to go for the favourite here, you've got to do some forgiving, haven't you? Wasn't it the Melrose that he ran a really poor race?
Yeah, like if there's a race that we're going to discuss that I really don't think I'd be having a bet and have no strong opinion on, it's this. Like you said, I found it very hard to trust Favourite Moon, but they've stuck a tongue tie on him, so at least they've made some sort of change. It would tell you that they found a problem. Look, Aldabran has a lot of weight, though there's a chance he could outclass them here after the gelding up. I just chance him if forced to pick one, but again, probably not a betting race for me.
You're never forced, as we always say on this show. If you don't fancy anything, don't have a bet. Keith, who are you going to go for?
I'm really torn as to whether I'm a bet in this one. The Favourite Moon issue from last time, I was massively keen on him at York, and he disappointed. They couldn't find any explanation, no post-race abnormalities. They've stuck a tongue tie on. They might have found something. They might be guessing. But if they have found something, come to light with him, if he is the horse he looked, 7-4 is price of the year. So I will be having a little bit of a FOMO bet, I think, on Favourite Moon, but I won't be getting tucked in like I might have done because of what happened at York.
And obviously, Keith, he's back at the scene of that really, really good win in his previous run.
Oh, he beat Subjectivist on his ear.
Yeah, he did. DJ, what do you make of this?
I love them Scottish sayings, on his ear. I actually remember, I was off for 2 weeks and when he back this week, but I remember mowing the lawn outside and I listened to the podcast the day Favourite Moon was running. And I don't think I've ever heard Keith Melrose so sweet in a horse. He came to the naps. He goes, well, sure, look, if you just want to put up a winner, I'll just put up Favourite Moon. So I'm not surprised that he's keeping the faith. Yeah, I don't know. Like, you probably could forgive him just one bad run. And he had looked really progressive prior to that. But the one that I'm going to chance the prices is Midrar for William Haggis and the unbelievably impressive Holly Doyle. And I just thought with Midrar, last time at Chester, I thought that was a really good performance. He was odds on and he probably just did what he was supposed to do. He was rated 84 and he posted an RPR of 83. But I loved the performance. I thought he really devoured the ground up the home straight. I thought if they went another 2 furlongs, he would have been double, treble what he was clear at the line. This step up and trip is really going to suit. I just think he's one of these real progressive handicappers. He hasn't gone up for winning at Chester. And I think he's kind of underrated here. I think his price at the moment, he's 9-2 with Paddy Power. I think that's a little bit too big, certainly a point too big. So Midrar for me.
Let's move on to the 2:50. It's the Betfair Exchange Old Borough Cup. It's a handicap over 1 mile and 6. We've got 17 runners and some old favourites. This is a real cracker. I'm looking forward to hearing what the lads have to say. Keith will go first. But first, we'll have Niall with Paddy Power's latest show of betting.
Yes, so we're paying 5 places here, Bruce. Rhythmic Intent is our 11-2 favourite. Glencadam Glory is 15-2. Future Investment 8-1. Cape Coast 8-1. Rajinsky 10-1. Australish 10-1 and 11-1 bar.
Keith, I hope you've been doing plenty of sussing. What have you come up with?
I've come up with the same as Paddy Power again. You can get much bigger than 10-1 about Australis. I think he's a really big price. He'd looked really progressive. He beat Caravan of Hope at Wolverhampton, then finished second to him in the Northumberland Plate, and last time at Ascot was travelling perfectly well over the straight and just got wiped out. So you can, again, throw that run out. He was basically eased off after that. Take him as the improving horse he is. And at that, I think 10-1 is still a pretty fair price, but you can get a really good price.
Excellent. Keith goes for Australis and suggests you shop around. DJ, what do you make of this? Some race this, isn't it?
Yeah, I absolutely love one in this, Bruce. We went for this all week. 16-1 Paddy Power. And the one horse I'm really looking forward to is Just in Time for Alan King. This is a horse that on both its starts this season has performed way better than its finishing position suggests. He finished 6th to Raishun at Newbury. He had been 2 years off the track, hadn't ran since the Cesar Witch in 2018. And then I thought it was such a lovely run last time at York when he was 7 to Summer Moon. Now, if you remember that race, that Summer Moon race over 2 miles, they absolutely went like the clappers. They were strung out and Just in Time. I don't think he just quite gets 2 miles in a strongly run race. But he was the one that poked your eye out early in the home straight at York. He was travelling really well. And I just think the trip found him out. Now, I think back over this trip on this sort of ground is exactly what he needs. It's his third run back after a really long absence. And I just think Everton is right for him. Like, he beat an Austrian school at Doncaster. His last run, which was back in 2018, which was only 4 runs ago off a mark of 94. He's only £1 higher now. And there's loads of little form lines, like beating Raishun at Leicester a couple of years ago. He won a race at Sandown that worked out quite well. He won at Goodwood off 84. And to me, the run the last time at York screamed a mile six, softer ground at a track like this. I think Just in Time is going to be really hard to beat. I'm very sweet in him, and he's 16-1.
And DJ, we must get over that thing of going, Alan King does really well with his flat runners, doesn't he? He's just a good dual-purpose trainer, isn't he? We've got to stop saying that.
Yeah, the funny thing is, I found in the last couple of years, any of these jumps trainers always say that training flat horses is piss easy. You ask them all, any of them, they all say the training flat horses is way easier than training jumpers. I remember Noel Mead talking to me about it one day when he won a maiden in Avon. He said, these are really easy to train. He says, you don't get half the problems you have with jumpers. So I always thought that was quite interesting.
Yeah, no, you can see the logic, can't you? If they don't have to jump early, you don't have to school them, you don't have to deal with so many injuries. No, I get that completely. Niall, who are you going to go for in the Old Borough Cup?
Yeah, I quite like the favourite here, Rhythmic Intent. The price is starting to go. He just hacked up last time at Newbury, and it came at a time when the stable were in woeful form. Like, he was the only one to really run any sort of race, and he was able to bolt up. So he's up £6 for that, but he fully deserves it for me. I just think he's a stayer with a turn of foot, a bit of class about him. He'll love the soft ground. The one thing I am worried about is he's going to be held up at Haydock, which it can just be difficult to make up a lot of ground. But when you look at the pace on here, this horse called Brandon Castle, who just tends to blow it ahead of himself, but even though Holly Doyle's on him. But yeah, there should be a decent pace on here. So I'm hoping it might be okay to be being held up. Yeah, like I said, the price is sort of gone. So from an each way perspective, I'm not 100% sure. But yeah, it's Rhythmic Intent for me.
Okay, so it's Rhythmic Intent for Niall. It's Australis for Keith. And David Jennings goes for Just in Time. We've got one more TV race from Haydock. It's the 4 o'clock. It's the Betfair Each Way Edge Beef Friendly Handicap over 5 furlongs. And how do Paddy Power bet, Niall?
Yes, so Danzino's our 6-1 favourite, along with Wonderwork, Aplomb 13-2, Militia 13-2, Ishvar 7-1, Came from the Dark 8-1, Rentorp 8-1, and 9-1 bar.
Keith likes his races the longer the better, so I think he's going to sit this one out. But DJ's never been known to sit one out, so who wins this, DJ?
No, I just think Militia is a real improver. He's won his last three, and he's only won them narrowly, so he's escaped without any really big rises. And last time at Musselburgh on, soft ground, it was proper soft ground, like, the way he travelled through that race, he only won by a neck, but it was kind of a cosy neck. He's only gone up £4 for that. And I just think when these sprinters get on a roll, they really are worth following. So Militia for me, and I'm a huge fan of Graham Lee.
Okay, who do you like, Niall?
Yeah, I quite like Came from the Dark for Ed Walker. I didn't think he was suited by York particularly last time, where nothing really got into it from off the pace. Loves soft ground, has Haydock form. I just thought at the price he'd be worth chancing each way.
Okay, let's move back to Kempton for their other ITV race. It's the 2 o'clock. It's the Unibet. 3 uniboosts a day. Sirenia Stakes, a Group 3 over 6 furlongs. And how do Paddy Power bet?
Yeah, so this is our money back special race. So it's money back if your horse finishes second, third, or fourth. And Mystery Smiles is 5-2 favourite. Mighty Gurkha 5-1. Cloudbridge 6-1. Halla 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 7-1. Gussie Mac 8-1. Twasal 8-1. And 9-1 bar.
And Keith, who do you like?
I quite like Lauded in this race. Obviously, one at Haydock where Tom Dascombe sends his good ones very well in its debut. And if you watch its three runs since, have all been in pattern company. The first time he ran in the Coventry, still looked a bit green, finished seventh midfield there. And he might have been second to Supremacy at Goodwood, but for just fading out of things late on. He went to York next time over five, and whether it was a soft ground or being taken out of his comfort zone at over five furlongs at York, it doesn't matter because neither are relevant this time. You know, he gets a sharp six furlongs here. And I think 9-1 is a very big price. I'll be pretty surprised if he goes off that big.
Lauded for Keith. Who for David?
Oh, Bruce, my forgiven side is coming out here again. I just think because it was just one run and it was just a mess from start to finish, let's just give Cloudbridge another chance. Like, the form of his Leicester maiden win has worked out well because Soft Whisper won a nursery last time. And just like, it was just a mess. It was just, maybe the horse has issues and, you know, he went berserk basically for the first half of the race. But, you know, he was sent off even money favour for the Acom. And now, you know, it's one run. And yes, he ran bad. But, like, he's a much bigger price now for what's probably a similar sort of race. It's a Group 3. I'm going to give him another chance. He could be a good horse.
Okay. Niall, who's your tip?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with DJ. Cloudbridge was terrible last time. They looked a proper horse on debut. We recorded a very good time in a race that's working out. That's why he went off so short in that Acom. They put a hood on to help him settle here, which might make the difference, and the drop to six furlongs could also help him settle. I don't think this is a particularly strong race, and I'm just willing to take a chance on him bouncing back. He's by Hardspun, so he should handle the odd weather fine. So yeah, Cloudbridge for me.
There's a lot of forgiving going on today. Sometimes it's difficult as a punter to do that, because if you do forgive a bad run and then they run bad again, you kind of hate yourself a little bit. But never mind. The 3:05, three races live on ITV. At Ascot on Saturday, the first is the 3:05, and it's the Lavazza Stakes. It's a heritage handicap over a mile and a half. Niall, give us a spin of betting and then your selection.
Yes, so Mike Frankel is our 4-1 favourite. Shandoz 4-1. Kipps 6-1. Alcaca 7-1. Cepheus 8-1. Grand Bazaar 9-1. Star Above 9-1. And 10-1 bar. Yeah, I'm glad you came to me first. This is probably my strongest fancy today. I think there could be a group horse and a handicap here in Mike Frankel. That Kempton race looked very strong on paper. And I could tell I was actually trading the race that morning. The top four in the market were all quite well fancied. So to win it as easily as he did, I think it was a fair achievement. He obviously had a penalty as well from winning a novice race. He went through the race really nicely. When he got asked, he just looked a proper monster, just galloped all the way to the line. There was fast sections in there as well for his stare, which I like. The mark might look harsh, but I think he fully deserved it. He's drawn 11, which suits over this trip. You don't really want to be drawn low historically. I know it's not that big a field, but it still counts for something. Also has a very good jockey in Kieran Fallon on his back, who I just really rate so highly. So, yeah, Mike Frankel for me.
You make a very strong case, Niall. Counter that one, Keith, or indeed agree with it.
Yeah, I didn't have a particularly strong view in this race. Mike Frankel was pretty impressive on that run at Kempton. I thought if you're looking for a sort of solid each way option that Kipps would maybe go well for you. He's still improving. I thought he got marooned a little bit at York last time too in the Melrose, and you know, I'm already trying to back one out of the Melrose in this on Saturday here. So yeah, maybe him is an each way option, but I would certainly defer to somebody who thought Mike Franco was a monster, because it's certainly plausible in what he showed at Kempton.
And Mr. Jennings.
Oh, Mike Frankel, God. Niall makes a better case than I ever could, and he's a better judge than I will ever be. And this horse is, like, that race, that novice stakes at Kempton, as Niall said, Brentford Hope was in it, if you remember. This is the big white hope from the Richard Hughes stable. And, like, even they backed Crisford's that day as well, casting vote. Dubai Welcome was for Sidemen Sarur. These, I'd say all those four horses, the stable thought, were proper group horses. And they went a proper clip, so they did. Dubai Welcome looked like he had the race won at one stage. And then Mike Frankel ended up having looked like he was going to finish fourth turning in. Ended up winning Cosley by two lengths. And to me, it was a really good performance. Even the form of his Leicester win has worked out really well. And Nashwari was quite impressive, I think, on its next start. I know he's up to a mark in 96, but he's won at the track over course and distance. Like, this is definitely a group horse running a handicap. And I think he's been kind of missed in the market all week because I just presumed he'd be a short price favourite. So maybe it's because it's quite a competitive race and you've got so many unexposed types in the race, but he's surely the most unexposed. And I don't think we've gone close to seeing the best of him yet.
Okay, well, if you weren't sure about my Frankel after hearing Niall, then perhaps DJ's impassioned case for the horse has convinced you. Let's move on to the 3:40. The Tween Hills Follow the Foals handicap over 6 furlongs. Another competitive race. There's lots of really, really good action on Saturday, I must say, on the TV. A real absence of short prices. That makes it tricky. Let's see if the lads can help you with this one. Niall, take it away.
Yes, so Masonic heads our market at 3-1. Jonah Jones is a cliff horse for myself personally, is 11-2. Kimmy 5-7-1. Spanish City 15-2. And 8-1 Gulliver and 9-1 Bear.
Right, now we're going to come to you last, but I can tell you this, you're not allowed to tip Jonah Jones. You've fallen off that cliff once too often. DJ, who should Niall be tipping?
I have a few cliff horses in this one, I'll tell you. I'm going to give Spanish City another chance. Oh, he just doesn't win, but like he's ran some really good races off these sort of marks. Like he's been running off 97, 98, 99 all season, running really, really well. And I think just a strong run 6 at a track like Ascot, I think is what he needs. Like I thought he ran an absolute cracker in the Wokingham to finish 3rd. And that was off a mark of 98. He's off the same mark here. I just think one of these days he's just going to win and I'll just be sick if I'm not on him. So it's a poor argument, but I'm just going to stay loyal to Spanish City one last time.
That's the first time a tipster has ever started his case why you should back horse by saying he just doesn't win. Keith, how do you read this race?
It's gone through the keeper, this one. I couldn't find much.
Okay. And come on, Niall. What?
I'm
gonna fully jump over the cliff here. If this goes wrong, you can maybe mute me the next time he runs or something. Look, like I said,
can
going
someone
well,
please give Niall O'Reilly his form book back so he can actually look at Jonah Jones?
Look, he's been really high catching on 3 of his last 4 starts with a very odd run in York in there in between that I can't really explain. He ran really well from a bad draw at York last time, making up a lot of ground from the back. And he really needed to be ridden prominently in those races early in the week. I think the winner just led the whole way. Look, he looks to be crying out for a step up to 6 furlongs for me. The favourite Masonic should ensure a decent pace on here. If he doesn't win this, I will officially be deserting him. But at the prices, I think he's worth one last chance.
Why did you do it to yourself, mate? Why did you do it to yourself? I, first couple of times, I think you and I were both on the podcast the first couple of times you backed Jonah Jones. And I went in too. I also fancied him, but God, I've got more respect for myself than that.
This is the 4th time, yeah. So last time.
Righty-ho. Okay, it's nice of David Jennings to sponsor the 4:15 after the contents of his garage. It's the Porsche handicap over 7 furlongs. It doesn't get any easier, does it? What's the latest betting here?
Yeah, we're paying 5 plates in this race. And Blue Mist is our 4-1 favourite. Society Lion 5-1. Via Serendipity 7-1. Raising Sand 10-1. Revage 10-1. And 11-1 Bar.
Oh, I'm going to be back in Raising Sand here. Is anyone following me in? Keith?
Yeah, but sort of reluctantly. Not reluctantly. It's a race where a lot of competitive horses in there, and Raising Sand's a bit of a course expert. You can throw out the last, obviously he ran in bad ground here on Champions Day last year, was in the wrong sort of place at Royal Ascot.
He ran really well from that side, yeah, you know, from absolutely. The wrong side there. That's why I love him here.
Yeah, I think I absolutely see it. I think there's nothing particularly inspiring because these course specialists on the straight track at Ascot are well known about. But, you know, 10-1 for an each way bet is really fair.
Okay, David Jennings, who are you going to go for?
I actually think this could be straightforward. I think Blue Mist, I think there was like a sigh of relief from Roger Charlton last time when he won, because I think he's a horse they've always taught was way better than he's been performing. Like, he's been sent off favourite for 5 of his last 6 starts. And they went in again, despite him being kind of, obviously, unlucky, but well beaten at Royal Ascot. They went in again last time, and he was sent off 92 favourite. And just the whole way through that race, he was the winner. He was the winner the whole way through. At no stage did he ever look like getting beaten. He's gone up £6 for that. But you know what? Just the the level of ability that he has and that ability to travel with such smoothness through a race, you just probably need the gaps to open at the right time. And if they do open, I just think he's going to be very hard to beat. I think the 6 pound rise is fair, and I just think he might be a bit better than that. So I'm going to go for the favourite, Bruce.
And who are you going to go for, Niall?
Yeah, Society Lion still looks very well treated to me. He hacked up in a competitive race at Goodwood 2 starts ago, winning very easily. A challenge for the last time. He was coming up against a lot of horses with loads of all-weather form. He was beaten at the third, but I think that was a relatively strong race. This is also quite strong, but I still think he's in a very good mark. The way he travels, I think he's potentially could be a group horse down the line. Kieran Fallon is up too, who I've mentioned already. I'm just a huge fan of, and yeah, I think he'll run well. He's about 5-1 or so.
Okay, those are the 10 ITV races on Saturday covered off. Let's get the rest of the Saturday tips next.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the Weekend Racing Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, David Jennings, Keith Melrose and Paddy Power's Niall O'Reilly. We've done the TV action. Let's see what the boys fancy away from the ITV cameras. Keith, have you got anything for us?
Yeah, I've got one. The 4-10 at Stratford's a big chase. Quite a competitive race, actually. Some horses there are on the way up. Fiddux is probably going to be favourite because he is seen to be owed one, but I actually think Shoal Bay will probably represent a better bet. One at Southall on his return to action, and then just absolutely wore a couple of fences on his next run and still ran pretty well to finish third. I think he's probably going to improve a little bit more than that and could be a bit of a value against the favourite.
Thank you, Keith. DJ, with equal brevity, take us through your non-televised tips.
I'll do my best. Just one, Bruce. 2:30 at Ascot, and I'm just praying that Paddy Power will make the same mistake that one of their competitors has done by putting this horse in at 12-1. Declared interest. Different tactics were deployed last time at Goodwood, usually ridden prominently. She was ridden way out the back, exaggerated weighting tactics by Harry Bentley in an attempt to try something completely different, and just was never put in the race. Was only beaten 3 lengths by Tomorrow's Dream. She's off the same mark here. Like, she was only beaten 3 lengths in the Sandringham by Onassis. And I think just somewhere in between, not too an aggressive ride, but not too patient. Somewhere in between, mid-pack, let her come there to win a race 2 furlongs out. And there is no way she's a 12-1 shot. I think she's going to go very close. Declared interest, 2:30 Ascot.
For King Rafe.
Yes.
Oh, we've also, by the way, tomorrow we've got, well, it's actually theoretically on Sunday because it's 1 minute past midnight. It's the Kentucky Derby at Churchill Downs. Niall, you often come up with an American tip. Have you got anything for us there?
No, I actually do have one in Kempton. I'll mention, yeah. It's called Pentimento. I've been following it for a while, back as far as January. He caught my eye in a race with some good sectionals off a really slow pace. He's been running over the wrong trip plenty, but last time he was dropped back to a mile at Lingfield and was very eye-catching, wearing first-time blinkers. He wears blinkers again here, back at Kempton where he's run well at before. I think it'd be a decent price too, so he's running the 4:20 Kempton. But yeah, nothing for Kentucky, sorry.
Okay.
I've spoken to Tom Collins this morning and he just cannot see Tis the Robbie being beaten in the Kentucky Derby.
Which one?
The favourite. He's absolutely set.
Oh, sorry, Tis the Law. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, he loves Tis the Law, doesn't
he? Yeah, yeah,
yeah. That whizzed up last time, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, jolly good. And if you didn't catch that, because we just broke up a little bit there, Niall's tip in the 4:20 at Kempton was Pentimento. Right then, if the lads were only having one bet on Saturday, what would it be? We'll start with Keith Melrose.
Glad I'm getting in first here because both of mine were fancied by other guys. Calusi is number one, 145 at Haydock.
Okay, DJ, who are you going to go for?
I'm going for the big one, Bruce. 250, Haydock, just in time, 16-1, Paddy Power.
Excellent, no messing around. And Niall?
I'm tempted to go for Jonah Jones for Bantz, but I won't. I'll go for Mike Frankel, 305 Ascot.
Excellent, thank you very much, chaps. And don't forget, when a lot of people would like to do a little tricksy or an each-way treble, so if you do that for small stakes, good luck. Let's hope we hit the jack. jackpot. Right then, on Sunday, they're racing in Ireland at Ballinrobe and in England at York and Fontwell. And we've also got Musselburgh up in Scotland. We'll see if the lads fancy anything there. But first of all, let's turn our attention to the big race on Sunday at Longchamp. 3:25, it's the Prix de Moulins over a mile. And take it away, six runners and six big names, Niall. Give us the betting.
Yeah, so Pinatubo is our 5-4 favourite, Siskin 9-2, Circus Maximus 9-2, Roman Eyes 5-1, Persian King 8-1, and Victor Ludorm is 10-1.
Some race this, Keith.
Certainly is. It's all killer, no filler, isn't it, really? You couldn't chuck any of them out. And for that reason, I think there is a case for just saying lay Pinatubo and take the field at 4-5. But that's not as much fun, is it? So if I was nominating one, we talked about how Paddy Power and I have come down on the same horses in a lot of races here. Siskin can be backed at a lot bigger than 9-2. I thought at Goodwood, he briefly looked the winner, I thought. Obviously, he finished third. I think he was sort of more, I don't know about outstayed, but others saw it out better than he did. Longchamp, they go uphill on the mile on the Grand Piste for the first couple of furlongs. Then it's a real downhill sweep into the straight and it's flat, whereas Goodwood's straight rises a little. So that little bit less emphasis on stamina might just suit Siskin. And if I had to pick one in the field, it would be him, but I wouldn't be betting him with Paddy Power.
Keith, I can hear the distant cry of a young baby. Is that your offspring?
Yeah, I'm not in the habit of letting other people's babies in my house.
No, I was going to say you've missed out on a real opportunity, because if you bring the little one in and let them lie there, and once DJ starts tipping up horses, they just nod off straight away. It has that effect on adults. It's absolutely mustard on babies. It really, really is. So Siskin for Keith, but he says go to Paddy Power's competitors where you'll get a better price. DJ, who do you fancy?
Don't DJ who do you fancy. That joke is so old. That joke was 2006, I'd say.
Mate, don't worry. Don't forget, whenever people used to go and see Frank Sinatra, he used to sing My Way every single time and they loved it. There's no harm in rehashing a good gag.
Yeah, and you know what, Bruce, you're right. I've many's a time started chatting away to Georgia and she was out for the count in a couple of minutes. On this race here, Bruce, love the race. Absolutely love it. Possibly the race I'm most looking forward to this weekend. But genuinely, I have not got a clue what's going to happen. And that's very unlike me. Usually I try and find an angle or try and find something. Like Pinatubo is far too short, but he might win. Circus Maximus is probably the one that I think is vulnerable because I think he's hardy, but I just think he's not as talented as the others. Siskin, I hated Siskin's head carriage under pressure at Goodwood. I do think he's a good horse, and I think this track might actually suit him. If the ground did dry up, the one that's probably overpriced is Roman Eyes. Now, he's Paddy Power a big time on side with him. They're only fives, he's nines elsewhere. I think if the ground dried out, I think he's the one that is kind of, he's not a sexy horse, you know, he's trained by Ken Condon, but he's been there and he's done it and he wins these mile group ones. So at the price, it's probably just about Romanized if you were getting 9-1. But I think it's just a race to watch because it's glorious.
To come in on behind Romanized there, I've had the nod from our man in Paris, Scott Burton. The weather there has been really nice all week. They don't, officially it's good to soft at the moment, but the quote almost verbatim was, there won't be much soft in it.
Oh, that's interesting. That could be a positive. And Keith, is the very fact that Romanized is so short you're doing, or is that a colleague? Do you fancy Romanized yourself?
No. One of my colleagues actually asked me yesterday, did I think Pinatubo was very short? I had a look at the race and my answer was no. I wouldn't have Romanized at all. I really fancy Pinatubo. Just on that Ascot run, he ran into a monster in Palace Pier. He's obviously backed the form up. Both Palace Pier and Pinatubo ran very fast sections that day and were much better value for the winning for the distance in front of Wichita. Like if the race was run to par, which it wasn't, they would have been a couple of lengths clear if you're using sectionals. He backed that up in France over 7 furlongs when nothing really ideally went right for him. There's not a huge amount of pace on here. Circus Maximus is probably the pace, so I think this could be relatively slowly run. He'll get to use that turn of foot, which I think he's the fastest. I did think Siskin was very fast previously, but I was disappointed with Goodwood. He got a clear run, couldn't get past Circus Maximus. I think maybe the Irish Guineas was very weak. I was really disappointed. I thought he'd win that race. Pinatubo, he just got the strongest form. I think he'd win this.
Okay, thank you, gents. Is there anything you fancy anywhere else on Sunday, DJ? DJ's gone. He's left us. Oh, my goodness. What's happened? Oh, well, we'll have to go without DJ. Keith, do you fancy anything else on Sunday?
Not massively. I think Easy Run Devassi will win the 350 at Fontwell, but I can't see him being much of a price.
Okay, and Niall, have you put your cue back in the rack, or have you still got anything left for us?
No, there's one I have left. 230 York, a horse called Sixelis, who I've put up on the podcast before. Thought he was very well handicapped after eye-catching runs at Epsom and York earlier this year. He's been poor enough since. He was well beaten at Goodwood, that was a decent race. Last time he got hampered and it was in softer ground than ideal. He's come down 6 pounds since I started really like following him. So he looks really well handicapped to me. If the ground dries out enough, I think that could really suit as well. Holly Doyle is booked, who's in red hot form. And I think he'd be a big enough price here as well because of his poor run last time. So that's Sixelis, 230 York.
Splendid. Thank you so much, Niall. Thank you, Keith. Thank you, DJ. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you have a fantastic weekend and that you bet safely and successfully. We've got Maddie back on Monday, and I think it might be Maddie next Friday as well, looking ahead to what is one of the highlights of the autumn. We've got the Tempsant Ledger at Doncaster, and we've got Irish Champions Weekend as well. So we hope you can join us for more great racing podcasts.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online, and we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, bgambleaware.org.